You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Twins baseball today on this Wednesday, December 6th, and joining us on the phone, our good friend, Rhett Bollinger from MLB.com, our Twins reporter. Rhett, thank you as always for the time. So, Rhett, let's start off by talking about Shohei Ohtani. He is not going to be a Minnesota Twin in 2018, unfortunately, for the fans of the team. The Twins, along with 22 other teams in baseball, on his thanks but no thanks list, as he's got it narrowed down to seven teams that he will play for in 2018. Again, the Twins are not one of those. So, Rhett, on the scale of teams that thought they had a great chance of getting him, and then at the lower end, teams that said, you know, he's a long shot at best, where would you put the Twins in terms of their aspirations and their hopefulness of getting this guy?
The Twins at this point were kind of on the lower end. I don't think they had a real shot at him. And the one thing, the front office is very creative, you know, very smart guys leading the front office, and Derek Salvey and Thad Levine, I'm sure they came up with a very good kind of plan, and they gave to, you know, Ohtani on why it could have been a fit in Minnesota. I think the Twins are willing to, you know, allow him to try to, you know, hit and pitch like he wants to do as a two-way player. The Twins probably would have been trying to find a way to do that for him. But I think ultimately, I think geography kind of played a big role in this decision. Clearly, you know, of the teams that he's finalists, only the Rangers and the Cubs aren't located on the West Coast. It just seems like kind of the West Coast mentality kind of seems like what he wanted. Even of all the teams that he's narrowed down his finalist list to, all those clubs also train, even in Arizona for spring training. So really, in a sense, the geography kind of excluded the Twins from it. They kind of realistically knew going into it they didn't have a big shot, but they knew they had the third most money they could offer him in terms of you know, the bonus money they had in their bonus pool behind the Yankees and the Rangers. They had the third most money, which is probably, you know, not going to be that big of a factor, I don't think, for Ohtani, just because I think at this point no team can really offer him that much money. So I don't think it's going to be the biggest thing. I think for him it's going to be this kind of situation he feels more comfortable in. I think at this point just wasn't really ever going to be in Minnesota. So it wasn't a surprise, you know, disappointment because such an intriguing player. But I think at this point for him to come to Minnesota would have been a huge shock. And so it certainly wasn't a surprise when they found out they were not one of the finalists.
Yeah, I mean, and like you touched on, you know, Ohtani is an interesting guy because we're so conditioned nowadays to expecting guys to want the moon and the stars to play for their team and wanting the most money and the biggest market and the bright lights in big city. That's not him. He wants a West Coast team. He wants to be as close geographically to Japan as possible. And as far as the Rangers and Cubs, I think the selling point for them was that they train in Arizona, and that was a big thing for him too. So unfortunately, the Twins don't check those boxes, and he's not going to be a part of their team next year. But somebody that could be, if the Twins have their way, Rhett, is Yu Darvish. And the Twins have come right out and said that they're going hard after Darvish. I know there's a kind of a secondary market of pitchers with the Lance Lynns and Alex Cobbs of the world, but it seems like, you know, Darvish and Arrieta are the two A-listers in terms of free agent pitchers this year, and they're going hard after Darvish. They're making no bones about it. Give us your take on their pursuit of Darvish, and could he be a Minnesota Twin next year?
Well, the front office definitely is looking for starting pitching, and they're not being shy about the fact they want to try to get a frontline type starter. You know, Irvin Santana had a very good year last year, as did Jose Berrios. But they kind of lack a little bit of depth. I think they'd like to have a guy at the top of that rotation to join Santana. I think because their aspirations still are to make the postseason. And I think they're looking forward, you know, in the future, not even just this season, but the season after that. You know, you kind of want to have a guy you can kind of have as kind of a veteran you can count on in a playoff situation, that kind of thing going forward. And Darvish and Arrieta, the two A-listers for sure. Darvish is probably going to command the most money on the market and kind of has the benefit of not being tied to compensation. That's the one thing that's going to be kind of interesting to see is that Jake Arrieta, as well as, you know, Lance Lynn and Alex Cobb were offered the qualifying offers. So there's going to be draft pick compensation tied to those signings. I still think signing Darvish might be a little bit of a surprise just because it's going to cost so much money for them. But at the same time, you know, with the new front office, you never know. I think kind of the old front office would have been very unlikely for someone like, you know, to sign a guy like Darvish. But maybe this front office feels like a guy like that's kind of the big move they need to make. Darvish is definitely familiar. The Twins GM, Thad Levine, is very familiar with Darvish from their time in Texas together. He was assistant GM when Darvish signed with the Rangers from Japan. So there's certainly some you know, familiarity there as well. But even if it's not Darvish, I think, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, a guy like a Cobb or a Lynn who might cost a draft pick or even an Arrieta, I do think they want to get a guy they can count on, you know, at least as a number one or number two type starter to go along with, you know, Santana and Barrios atop that rotation. They don't want to just get some mid-rotation or back-end guy to slide in there. They want someone up top there to join that rotation. And then from there, they'll kind of, you know, focus on their bullpen. They still need to find a closer and some bullpen help, and as well as potentially a right-handed bat or a power bat to kind of come off the bench there and do some DHing. But more than anything, I think the starting pitching is definitely their big priority. And Darvish is the big, you know, the big guy out there. So at least trying to see what, you know, what it would take to try to get him to come to Minnesota. It's still so early in the process. It seems like this offseason has been very slow in terms of the starting pitching market. But maybe it'll heat up there during the winter meetings next week.
And, Rhett, this might be a stretch to suggest, but as we all know, Darvish was downright abysmal in his two World Series starts. In any way, could that help the Twins? Where I'm not suggesting that, you know, that's going to decrease interest in other teams' part because he was so bad on the biggest stage in baseball. But at the same time, even the slightest bit, could it drop the dollars down just slightly to, you know, to help the Twins out here, where maybe he's not as hot a commodity now as he was before the World Series began?
Well, it is a good thing for the Twins. You're right in that sense. I do think that, you know, probably, if anything, it definitely didn't, you know, increase his value. And if he would have had a huge World Series and pitched, you know, two huge games there, his value would have been probably even, certainly would have been much higher than it is now, too. And just kind of been the recent knock on him. But at the same time, you know, two starts aren't going to, as much as the World Series, he still has a very good track record. I can't imagine it's going to probably bring it down too much. But even if it's just a little bit, you're right. I do think that, if anything, it does play in the Twins' favor a little bit, because if the, you know, the dollars are a little bit lower, or even interest is a little bit lower, the Twins could jump in there and make a big surprise. But I don't think it'll have too much of an impact, just because, like I said, it is only two starts. Obviously, huge starts, very magnified starts. But I think the body of work still is so strong. And even the playoff starts before were pretty solid, that I think that he'll still be the number one guy in the market for sure, and will command a big deal. But, yeah, it could be a little bit less, and maybe it could play in the Twins' favor.
Yeah, and maybe he puts a clause in the contract that just says, do not pitch me against the Houston Astros ever again. And if he, you know, if he has that, maybe a Cy Young's in his future, because the Astros absolutely own that guy. And unfortunately, the Dodgers found that out the hard way in the World Series. Rhett, shifting gears here, the Twins are working on a deal to send Byung-ho Park back to his native South Korea after a rather unproductive tenure as a major leaguer with the Twins. He only saw big league action back in 2016. In that time, hit under 200 in just 62 games at the big league level. And in terms of, you know, disappointments and disappointing signings and guys that did not live up to the hype, I would think that Mr. Park, not to bash on him, but this has got to rank pretty high in the list.
Yeah, I think the one thing nice about it was it wasn't that much money tied up in it, in a sense. You know, obviously they had to pay the posting fee, which was, you know, $12 million. But then his contract for 4 years was also only $12 million. So the risk wasn't that high, in a sense. And it does sound like the way they're working on this deal is they're not going to pay for his next 2 years, which will free them up some money. So in a sense, it might even have just been a two-year, $6 million deal. So in that sense, it's a little bit more palatable. But you're right, though, in terms of just the expectations and the hopes of him signing with the Twins, just because he was so good in Korea. You know, two-time MVP over there. It hit 105 combined home runs over the previous two seasons heading into Minnesota. Was the best player over there. And at that time, we've seen some guys in Korea come over and have some success. You know, Chung Ho Gong had some success with the Pirates before his legal troubles. And truthfully, Park was a much better player in Korea than Gong was. So I think the expectations were kind of high to see if he could provide some power. There were always question marks, though, just because of the whole, you know, higher velocity in the major leagues, you know, better pitching in the major leagues. He was already 29 years old. There were some question marks, and clearly those ended up being the things that ended up kind of winning out, was those question marks ended up winning out. But at the same time, I feel like, in some ways, things just didn't really go, you know, that well for him, in a sense. You know, got off to the slow start last year, or, you know, in 2016, I mean, when he got off to the slow start, so did the team. The team was so bad to start that year out, you know, losing their first nine games. He was a part of that. I think it kind of got in his head a little bit. Started showing some signs, and then, you know, got down to the minor leagues and broke his wrist and, you know, ended his season. And then this past season, I think he thought he might have had a chance to make the roster, had a great spring training. And I think when he didn't make it, it kind of hurt his confidence a little bit. He never really had much of a season there at AAA. So I think a lot of things just didn't work out in his favor. I think maybe in a different market, maybe he could have found a way to succeed in the major leagues. It just didn't really happen here. I'm hoping that, you know, for his own sake, he goes back to Korea and continues to have a great career over there. He's a very good guy. He tried his best to learn English. He was a very good teammate. Just, you know, the offense never really came around the way the Twins wanted it to, especially at AAA. You know, if he would have been mashing at AAA, I think we would have saw him, you know, in the majors last year. It just never really quite happened. And he just kind of missed out being, you know, off the roster heading into the year. So he's still not sent to Korea quite yet, but they're definitely working on it. I do think at this point the Twins will be able to get away from the contract too the next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it just snowballs on you, and before you know it, it's out of control. Like you said, you've got the struggles. It gets in your head. You're in a completely new culture, new environment. Then the health issues with the broken wrist, and before you know it, you're in over your head. And unfortunately, that's kind of what happened to Byung-ho Park, and hopefully a successful return his way as he goes back to his native South Korea for 2018 and beyond. Rhett, to wrap up here, the winter meetings start on Sunday. Not a news flash, we all know that. But we're taking a look back at some notable wheelings and dealings made by the Twins in previous years. So the year that we're going to focus on, 1999 and the Rule 5 draft, which takes place towards the tail end of the winter meetings each and every year. And that year, Rhett, in 99, the Twins picked up some no-name left-handed pitcher. I don't know whatever became of him. So whoever this guy was, fill us in on what happened with him.
Well, this guy is the guy we talked about recently because he's a guy that's up for the Hall of Fame induction, you know, on the ballot for the first time. And Johan Santana, two-time, you know, Cy Young Award winner, probably the best, you know, one of the best pitchers in the history of the Twins organization. It's amazing the fact that they were able to get him in the Rule 5 draft. Easily the, you know, best pitcher ever taken in the Rule 5 draft, I think, historically. We've seen guys, you know, Roberto Clemente was a Rule 5 draft pick. We've seen other guys have some good careers. But really, for him to be as good as he was is just amazing. Such a pickup for the Twins, you know, a prearranged draft deal with the Astros to be able to get him, kept him on the roster the entire year, the next season as kind of a reliever. He ended up learning that changeup a little bit the next year, and from there, that changeup ended up being, you know, maybe one of the best pitches in baseball, maybe even ever, the way that changeup, he leaned on that pitch so much. That's such a good pitcher. We talked about it before, that, you know, that four-year stretch he had, he was as dominant as anybody in the majors, and you know, you always look at the way, you know, teams acquire players, and you know, maybe you get a guy with waivers, and it's kind of, you know, a good pickup, and it's solid, but it's very, very rare that it's a Rule 5 guy that kind of comes out of nowhere that really becomes that dominant and wins multiple Cy Young Awards. So you got to give the Twins front office at the time, and Terry Ryan was GM, and, you know, Mike Radcliffe was, you know, the farm director at the time. You got to give them credit for being able to at least see something in Santana. I don't know. I'm sure they definitely never saw, you know, that much. I'm sure they probably saw something in Santana. Like, hey, maybe we find a lefty center in the future. At the time, you know, just somebody, you know, lefty in the Rule 5. They always like taking somebody just in case, you know, always worth the risk. In the Rule 5 draft, it only cost $25,000. And sure enough, that $25,000 is probably the best $25,000 the Twins have ever spent. And Santana, you know, the rest of history, had a great career with the Twins. And you know, even close to the day, though, the Twins, because of that, have always been proponents of trying to take picks in the Rule 5 draft. You know, they've had success with guys like Ryan Pressly, even Scott Diamond for a short time. They always seem to try to find somebody in the Rule 5 draft just because I think they know that it's, you know, an easy way to try to find some talent. And it definitely worked out. And then some when they took Johan Santana in 1999.
Yeah, I mean, for fans that may kind of poo-poo the Rule 5 draft and don't pay that much attention to it, you know, just go back to, like we said, 1999. And I'm not saying there's going to be a Johan Santana in the field every year, but this was the one year that, you know, a Hall of Fame nominee ended up there in the draft there for the taking, and the Twins are the lucky ones to get their hands on a guy that would win two Cy Youngs and give himself consideration for the National Baseball Hall of Fame. A pretty good day back in 1999 for the Twins during the Rule 5 draft. Rhett Bollinger, great stuff as always. Thank you for the time. We'll do it again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins.